Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to talk about the Hour of the Wolf. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? That's the middle of the night when we wake up. That's when the wolf arrives, because that's when our fears get going. Things that we're vulnerable to. Things that we can't protect ourselves in the middle of the night, because our emotions are much more available, let's put it that way. So to talk about the Hour of the Wolf is a guest who's the author of a book called Hour of the Wolf. Imagine that. An Experiment in Ageless Living. Wow, we can keep on going if we can handle this wolf. So to help us understand how to deal with the Hour of our Wolf is our guest, Paul Lipton. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad that you could talk with us about this. And you and I share some similar backgrounds. I went to Penn State.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and you did too.
I did.
Right. And I had parents who died young. My mother died quite a bit older than your parents, but my father died at age 50. So those are things that influence us greatly in our lives, and including our school. It still does. Penn State is
right.
Going through a lot of turmoil lately. And anyway, let's talk about your book. And I loved it. It's very enriching and inspiring. And it helps you look at the ways that we can tackle life better and be more heroes for ourselves in life. And you have chosen difficult paths in your life life has chosen you difficult ways in your life. For instance, the medical condition that you had.
Right.
And
It's a very interesting process. The Hour of the Wolf, as you know, is that 2-3 o'clock in the morning time when a lot of people wake up with regrets or wondering just what went wrong, what happened. Time has just seems to be on a roulette wheel, spinning so quickly. And as you've said, I faced a number of issues, my parents dying young and myself going through a health crisis. And I would wake up wondering what the heck just happened. And I decided to write Hour of the Wolf to address how to avoid that situation, and also how to seize each day completely and fully as best I could.
Right. And this Hour of the Wolf, I have that going in my life too. And what happens, I find that during the day I can keep busy, distract myself, find all kinds of ways to manage my life so that I'm not facing my wolf during the day. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm fairly helpless. I'm lying in bed. I've woken up, and fears flood in ways that I can't distract myself.
Exactly right, and that is when the wolf is the strongest. It's almost as if it's a time when we've taken supposedly the, quote unquote, the armor off of the day, and we're supposed to be in this quiet, safe setting, and that's where the mind starts to race. And for me, I decided to confront that and say, all right, how do we deal with that so we can either avoid it completely or, in fact, if we're there, analyze it and say, how do we move past it? And that's what Hour of the Wolf, an Experiment in Ageless Living, is all about.
Right, and I like a lot of the ways that you approach this, because you're looking at how are we more honest with ourselves in our lives. what are ways that we are fooling ourselves so that when we are in our weakest moment at 3 a.m. or whatever, that there aren't so many holes in our psyche that can haunt us.
Yeah, exactly right. So what we do is, for me, it became appreciating the individual day. And as I write an Hour of the Wolf, talking about giving ourselves a break and recognizing that this is, as far as we know, this is our one life, our one opportunity to tell our story. And we want to tell our story heroically. We want to be the hero of our own story. And I'm asking people to reframe their journey. I made a comment a few days ago to a friend, and I didn't mean it in a morbid way. I meant it in a very positive way. I said, look, nobody gets out of life alive. So if we can embrace that reality, tell me exactly what you're worried about. I know we have issues, I know we have obligations, but we have to find a way to enjoy the day and enjoy our one moment here, because all the worry in the world is not going to change the fact that we have a limited window of time to appreciate the gift we've been given.
Of this lifetime. And
exactly right.
On this planet, in what the gifts are here for us, even though there are a lot of stresses, a lot of struggle, and we're here actually to deal with those struggles, we also want to appreciate the grace in our lives.
Exactly right. I'm asking the reader to go on a journey with me and to say, look, I know we all have issues we have to deal with, but can we put it in context? And that's why I write about my travels to the Himalayas and crossing the ice fields on Mont Blanc, and why at at an age of 54 years old, I decided to take up motorcycles at that time. I'm 68 now. But, you know, that's a kind of a late time to start that sport. But I wanted to because there's no age limit to living your dreams and risking some adventure.
Right. And our dreams are relative to our, for instance, our personality, our body types, etc. It's not that we should all run out and buy a motorcycle in order to fulfill our lives. I bought a motorcycle as I graduated from Penn State, but after 2 weeks it was stolen, and that was the end of my motorcycle life.
Right. No, and in fact, you're absolutely right. I'm not, you know, it's not one size fits all. What I am saying is that sometimes you get so dragged down, so to speak, by the daily grind of it all, by trying to get through the day, that, you know, I write about in Hour of the Wolf how I hear people say, I hate Mondays. And it always puzzled me because Monday is one of the great days in your life. And therefore, maybe it's the way we see it. Maybe we're in a toxic relationship, maybe we're in a toxic work environment that we have to tweak or adjust or figure out how to deal with, so that Monday is just like any other day, which should be a day of challenging yourself and enjoying the gift you've been given.
Right. And actually what you're reminding me about is something I work with called the Human Design System, and it uses our birth dates and the Chinese I Ching, and it understands our different types. And a lot of us are called generators, and we're just slaves to our motors. We're not good at self-nurturing. Whereas there's 21% of the population that are called projectors. And fortunately for me, my wife is one. And they do a great amount of self-nurturing. And so there are people who are more attuned to that. And we should use them as guides and role models, because a lot of us really don't know how to take our noses off the grindstone.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. You know, we each have our own gifts, and we should reach out to those who can help us better understand, you know, the journey that we're on. For me, it was more of a self-taught process of just refusing to be a victim. I just said I refuse. I had this health condition, and I was really feeling like a victim. And I said, no, there's got to be a better story here.
Well, so, you had a lot of pain. I mean, this wasn't an easy medical condition that you had. It really limited you for 14 years?
Yes, it was trigeminal neuralgia, which is a terribly painful condition where the thick cranial nerve on right side of my face would just go in spasm and pain for the medical reasons. I won't.
Your line is breaking up a little bit.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yes.
There is a, because of that condition and taking the medications I had to take, on that, I was really feeling, like a victim, and that there was not a good solution here. And I finally, as I write in, one chapter called The Gate, I decided to do a surgery that would alleviate this situation. But so what I'm asking your listeners and the reader to do is, when they're confronted with life crises, which we all are challenged with different events, to seek solutions and not feel like you're just a helpless victim. That's where I write about the hero, and that you must be the hero in your own story.
Right, and nowadays we do have to be our own doctors because we can't trust the medical establishment.
Right. I truly believe that we have to be in tune with what is important to us, what has value to us, and that is part of the journey. So when we're faced with a challenge, we must look at that and say, okay, instead of just saying, well, this is where I find myself, and just being like an observer of where you are, to say, no, I have a story to tell, and I'm going to find a solution to this for me and work through that. And that's where one of my chapters is talking about 100% of 100%. Being all you can be right now. And how do we do that? How do we accomplish that? And that's what I write about.
Right. And another thing that is very important in your book is the aging process, which affects us all very differently. A lot of people age quicker than others, and a lot of that is mental.
Right.
And so it is inspiring that you are at your age. I'm a bit older than you, but you know, I work out a lot, and I do a lot of, I challenge myself physically and in many other ways to stay as young as possible. And you do that as well. So it's really important for us to handle aging as smartly as we can.
Yes, and that's why the subtitle to the book is An Experiment in Ageless Living. And what I'm really saying there is that it's so easy to get caught up with numbers, birthday numbers, and signs we see everywhere, senior citizen, and you know, stop, yield, you're too old for that. And that really frustrated me because, you know, I'm 68 years old. I work out regularly. You don't have to do that, but you should, as I write in the book, take care of yourself, even if it's just going for a good, you know, walk each day. But for me, age, I decided to take age off the table. And I said, look, I'm me today. That's who I am. So don't put me in a box and say, well, you're this age, you can't do that anymore. Dreams don't have an expiration date, and we have to control our story for as long as we're here and we choose to do that.
Right. I've always taken a very positive look at my age because it's way past where my parents got to, and I'm so excited to get all the benefits of a senior citizen.
Yeah, you know, my dad died when he was 56. My mom, when she was 52. And, you know, you look back on that now, and they were so young. My heart goes out to them. But one of the other reasons I wrote Hour of the Wolf is because I really, you know, I was about 25, 26 when they died. I just graduated law school. So I was away from home in college and law school, et cetera. And I didn't know them. I knew them as parents, wonderful parents, but not as people, not as what they dreamt about, what they thought about at night, what they laughed and cried about with the daily events. And I don't want my kids and grandkids to think that I'm a mystery to them. And I'm asking people that to basically say, look, we have a legacy to live, leave. We can't be a mystery to ourselves or our family. Tell your story proudly. Tell about the adventures and misadventures so that the kids and grandkids can look at that and say, okay, I'm having a rough day today too, but let me tell you about my dad or my granddad and what he or she went through. And, okay, I'm not alone in this journey, and I want to tell my story.
Right. It's very important, I believe, to leave a legacy.
Absolutely. It's critical that we not be a mystery to ourselves or the people that matter to us.
Well, we never...
We must...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, we never stop being a role model to our children, no matter how old they are. And so we always...
Absolutely right.
And we always want to keep that going because it keeps inspiring them to be themselves, actually, but because they're all different than we are anyway. And yet their values and their sense of how to hold life, they watch their parents and they watch us getting older and they identify with that because it's their genes. And so they'll say, wow, okay, this will help me when I get older.
Exactly right. And therefore, you know, there's always going to be that look back moment, that moment where you kind of look back over your story and you want to look back with pride and you want to say, okay, you know, I gave a good sample of myself. You know, one of my fears that I write about is, you know, being near the end and saying, now, what was I really afraid about? Really, what was weighing me down so much?
We wasted so much energy on that.
Exactly right. And I'm asking people, as you do in your program and in your life, to say, look, tap into the positive. Again, I know we have challenges and I know we have, you know, obstacles to deal with, and I write about that. But there's a way to look at it to say, well, you know, like one chapter I have, there's always a high noon. You know, there's always going to be that issue we have to deal with. But deal with it with the vigor and the vim that you can have in telling your story.
Right. And you talk about in the book that we do live constantly in the unknown. Every day there's a new decision to be made and new crisis in some way that we have to manage. And the choices we make are very important as to whether or not we're inviting the wolf back.
Yes, exactly right. I write in Hour of the Wolf that, you know, we don't wake up in the morning and there's a script by our bed telling us, you know, what the day is going to be like and one of the laugh lines and when we enter and exit a scene. You know, we live in the unknown and we're the sum of our choices. So recognizing that, I find it very exciting. I find it very exciting that we're constantly, you know, entering this unknown region, which is our unfolding life. And therefore, you shouldn't be a prisoner of what happened yesterday. You can say, all right, today, I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to do it better. I learned my lessons yesterday. and I'm going to do it better as opposed to saying I have no choice.
And you also talk about the pitfalls to this. And the biggest one that I think that you mention in the book are the masks.
Yes. Yes. There is this tendency that so many have, and I had, of wearing this mask, of doing things that you expect, that you think are expected of you, that are not really true to your core beliefs, because you don't want to upset someone, or you're maybe in some toxic relationship and you want to keep someone else happy, and you're doing things that are truly against your moral and ethical compass because you either want to keep your job or keep someone else happy. And there's a consequence to that. That's where the wolf roams at night. That's where the wolf comes out, because the wolf knows you're wearing a mask and you're not being true to yourself. And what you have to do, as painful as it may be, you have to drop the mask. You have to say, look, this is who I am. I must be true to my essence, to my core beliefs, and I must be the hero in my story. Only way you can be a hero in your own story is to be authentic, and you must be the authentic you.
Yeah, and that's very tough. I spent 22 years with an organization where I had fiduciary responsibility, and they weren't doing a good job. And it was very painful because it was a not-for-profit, and I was really under fire all the time for holding my ground. Fortunately, there's a legacy about it, because there was actually a full-length documentary that was made about it that I'm so glad that, you know, my kids have been able to see and understand how hard it is. We do have the wolf at our door also when we're standing up for ourselves and we don't know what our enemies are going to do next.
No, exactly right, and it's not easy, and you have to have the courage. You know, being a hero is a solo job.
It's very painful too,
and it could be very painful.
It was for me. Yes.
Yeah, but in the end, I don't know how else you go about living your life.
Exactly, yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, I write in Hour of the Wolf something along the lines of, some people play the fool so they won't be called a fool by some fool. You know?
Right.
And you have all these judges out there who can't deal with their own life, but they're ready to judge your life.
Sure. And then they have their own wolf too, and they're protecting themselves against that by
exactly right
by these illusions, delusions.
Exactly
actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And so my book is really asking people to go on a journey with me of some self-discovery. I use my some experiences in my life as a jumping off point, but it's really a universal story of how we best deal with the day. You know, I often think that when I get to the pearly gates, the question I'll probably be asked, or I think maybe we would be asked, is God saying, so what did you do with the gift I gave you?
Mm-hmm.
And don't we want to say, you know, living it now, saying, let me tell you what I did with the gift you gave me. I tried my darndest. I tried to be true to my core beliefs. I slipped. I'm imperfect, but that's the human condition. But I really gave it the full measure of me.
Exactly. And that's what we want in life, is to fulfill our full measures, to be true to who we're here to be. And in my life, I try to help people. I counsel people and also work with I'm an intuitive, and I also work with the human design system. And I'm always looking for that opportunity to help people understand themselves better and become more powerful.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And that is the journey that we're all on. You know, I write about that we make five decisions in our life, and those five decisions are critical. You know, we have to, I've heard people say, I don't have time to take care of myself. I'm too busy. I don't have time to go to the doctor. I'm too busy. And so one of those decisions that we must make is our health and taking care of ourselves. We're important. It's not selfish to say I need to be in good shape and take care of myself. We can't phone our health in. It will catch up with us sooner or later.
Right.
And the other is family and friends. Really be committed to your family and friends. I write about that so often. We spend more time pleasing the people who matter the least to us and not the people that matter the most to us. And when you're with your family and friends, be there 100%. Just commit to that. It will change everything. The third is the spirit world. Whatever that means to you, whether it's religion or nature.
Your phone is breaking up again.
I'm sorry.
Your phone is breaking up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now it's better.
Great, thanks. You know, the other is the spirit world, whether it's nature or religion, but connecting to something larger, connecting to something more than just the daily gossip and the 24/7 news cycle. Connect to the part of you that's part of the mountain. I write about being on in the Himalayas and the majesty of the mountains. The fourth is learning. Passion comes in always learning something new and trying to find something new to learn, whether at work or play. And the last, which is so interesting because I've gotten more comments on this than anything else, is finding the fun in your life. You know, there's a child still inside us who wants to play.
Right. And you do, and with your motorcycle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to still find ways to play.
Great. Yeah. Now we're coming near the end of the show, and I want to make sure everyone is going to know how to find your book and find you. You have a website, right?
I do. The website is theagelessexperiment.com. And if you go there, I write fairly regularly about living agelessly, and the book Hour of the Wolf is linked to that. If you go on Amazon, you will look up Hour of the Wolf, and you can look at the reviews, and by all means, it's Kindle-friendly, or you can get the paperback, and folks can read about it and buy it there. But I'm asking people to just take the time, just take a look at Hour of the Wolf and see if something in there resonates with them to say, I've got a story to tell and I want to tell it.
And you've done a great job about it. And I'm really fascinated and enjoyed reading your book and inspired by it. So, Paul Lipton, thank you so much. For being
thank
a guest.
You so much. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you and your audience.
Thank you. And this is Peter Roth, the host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.